Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because is this Matt Hamilton?
Okay. Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
You have a question for Jason, or how is he supposed to respond to this?
He asked the questions to me. No bats.
By hanging up.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Jim Rutledge, Molly Brown, and Matt Hamilton with you. Jason Wilde on the phone. Primetime War, Shyam and Chrissy Burtz on the Everlight Solar Studio with us as well. You can stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app and on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. And Jason, before we get to some football stuff, because I think we have some we've been able to dig up, it's list season, including you. You have your list at channel3000.com. Lots of good stuff out there. But would you eat a pasta flight that is four different types of pasta slopped onto a board served at a restaurant like as an appetizer?
Is it hot? Is it cold?
It's
is
hot.
It an individual? Is it an individual, like, you know, is the board like hollowed out so they're separated or
it is
they
a piece of wood.
Each other?
It is a flat piece of wood that probably was served as a flight for something else.
Yeah.
Matt, what were the pastas? Do you remember?
Yeah, it looked like carbonara, like a spaghetti and meatballs, a Alfredo of some sort, and then looked like kind of like steak and like a creamy pesto.
And it was like at the table.
And you're telling me that
all of them were just slopped on a board.
All
touching.
Right, so again, I know. Yeah,
mingling.
I know you guys know this. I am a huge proponent of the divided plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, the girls have long outgrown those types of plates, and we still have them for me.
Good for you.
I don't want my stuff touching other foods. So the idea of pastas, which I think I'm open to all four of those types of pasta being anywhere near each other, like those sound like they would even challenge the structure of my divided plates, that there could be some, you know, crossover saucing, and I will not stand for that. So no, I am out on that
sauce contamination.
So like, and that's what I thought. Unfortunately,
good. Hey, that was way better than I ever expect from you, frankly. Well done.
Thank you.
It was an unfortunate tweet where someone was trying to, they were saying that the Milwaukee food scene was underrated, which I don't disagree with, but then they put out, just had a pasta flight and are getting dragged because it looks gross. It's like
they took a picture after they pulled so there's like sauce falling off the edge of the board.
Yeah.
Gross.
So it just didn't like it. It worked exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Like we all look like rubes here in Wisconsin or whatever. Like, let's get a pasta.
Four
flight.
Kinds of pasta. I thought it was just spaghetti and meatballs.
Right. So
as a proud Milwaukee native who agrees, as Jim, you just said, that it is definitely underrated. I would say to this person, don't help.
Right.
Okay, don't help. We're good.
Do less.
There's a lot of different rankings and things going on right now on social media. I'm not a big fan of PFT, but Chase Daniel joined PFT. And I am a fan of him, former career backup, including with the Bears some. And he did his did his QB rankings. And I love how he did it. I'll run through it quickly, Jason. He said the elite, there was five, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Jaden Daniels just got his own tier. And then you got technically Super Bowl champion tier, Stafford, Rodgers, and Jalen Hurts. Great QBs, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, CJ Stroud, Brock Purdy, Justin Herbert. Good QBs, Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix. And then this is where Jordan Love falls into. Now he's at the top end of this list, but Jordan Love, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Tua, Bryce Young, Kyler Murray, Joe Flacco. And that grouping was called "Will Change Game to Game." What did you think about the way he described it?
Hit him with the last category, too.
Oh, the last category was Saints QB number 32, whoever is the Saints QB. But I want to actually get to the Packers stuff of it. So,
yeah, that's I'm intrigued by that, too. You know, look, first of all, you're right. It is listicle season, and everyone's doing it for different reasons. I personally, besides doing it for clicks, because obviously it's free to read everything on channel3000.com, which wasn't the case with my State Journal work, but for me, anyway, it's not so much about my opinion on guys. It's more, for my thought process, a vehicle to kind of serve as a primer for people getting ready for training camp, which is going to be here before you know it, and kind of, you know, give you a taste of what the storylines are, the guys that this team is going to rely on to come through with either huge seasons or at least improved seasons. So I'm not reinventing the wheel there. I mean, I guess I invented it back in 2010, but this I'm fascinated by. And the primary reason is that's an awfully low spot to have Jordan Love in compared to everything I'm told by Packers fans who think I don't know what the hell I'm talking about for suggesting that he has a lot to prove still about just how good he is. And you know, I don't – will change game to game. Like, I'm not even sure then that Chase Daniel, who I agree is a really smart guy, I think he's gotten off to a really good start in his post-playing career as an analyst and kind of done it, dare I say, a little bit the Dan Orlovsky way, where you're kind of just putting stuff out there and then, you know, people notice and then bigger companies decide, hey, this guy might actually be useful to us. I like what he's done. And this is, I'm intrigued by this because he obviously has different credentials than I do. And that is not a very high ranking of Jordan Love. And I'd be curious what he had to say about him.
And I'll see if we can find more info on that one. I want to follow up on it with here that we asked the question yesterday about like the best backfields in the NFC North. And we said that like clearly it had to be the Lions when you're considering they have Gibbs and Montgomery. But the other question that we kind of stumbled into that I wanted to ask you is that who, and again, this is just kind of farcical question for this time of year, but I will die on this hill because everyone says that Jared Goff is a product of his coaching, that if Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, and David Montgomery just came to the Packers.
Walk into a bar.
Well, they go to the Packers, and Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, and Wilson or Lloyd go to Detroit. The Packers are winning the division. The Packers are a Super Bowl contender because you give Jared Goff Matt LaFleur, and I think Matt LaFleur codes it when he says Jordan needs to let it rip. He means like when Jordan sees it, throws it. Jared Goff is excellent at that. And then you have that running game with the way that Matt LaFleur wants to coach. Like that, if they made that trade, the Packers are exponentially better than the Lions would be in that move. Like, I know it's kind of out there, but what do you think about that idea?
Yeah. So first of all, a couple things. I mean, one, you know, I think Jared Goff is underappreciated and underrated. And I understand that he made it to a Super Bowl and they put up 3 points offensively, right? If I remember, 13-3 was the final there. And I understand that, you know, he didn't play well in the playoff game. And those are the things that people remember. But this narrative that he just stinks and it's all just smoke and mirrors is just ridiculous. Like he
agreed.
To your point, like he is, and look, this is what I want from my quarterback, unless he is so incredibly special, like Rodgers. Like again, people are, you know, I have so far curtailed my my Twitter usage and my social media usage, but every once in a while I make the mistake of going in the For You column of Twitter, and there are certainly some things that I don't want to do, but I do end up stumbling upon a lot of things from content creators who are really just taking NFL film that they shouldn't be allowed to post on social media and using it. But it's really interesting to me because they put together all these clips of various, you know, Rodgers 40-yard touchdown passes. Well, it's like a 12-minute video. Like, he was truly special. And I think that's really impressive that when you look at, you know, those guys that are special, you get reminded, because obviously I'm not watching all those throws as regularly. But I think it's really interesting to see that, you know, Jordan Love has not reached that point yet, and Jared Goff is not of that talent level, but they are functional within their offenses. And that's kind of my point that I'm stumbling through here, is that the idea of, if you have someone who's really special who can do things that no one else can, great. If you don't, You need guys that are going to run the offense in a manner that is really going to be productive and effective and do what the coach wants them to do. And I think that Jared Goff does that immensely well. He did it for Sean McVay, and he did it for Ben Johnson. And if he continues to do that for their new offensive coordinator, they're going to continue to be a threat. If Jordan Love does that better than he has to this point, I think they'll also be in a really good place. The Packers will be. But again, he did not do it consistently enough, in my opinion, that I feel real good about it.
Jason, as you said before, you have your own list, Most Important Packers of 2025, on channel3000.com. Today you had number 13, Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. To me, when I see this, kind of concerning, considering that we're all presuming that Jaden Reed is going to be the number one wide receiver until hopefully Matthew Golden breaks out. I mean, should Packers fans be concerned that you have him listed at number 13?
No, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I think you know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, he put people in one slot, so how much does he know what he's talking about?
Yeah, very fair point. Second of all, the reality is that it's not really about where guys are ranked. Like, I did that because there are some guys that I think are more important, but he's on the list. And I want people to read that story because I do think it's interesting how those two are so inextricably linked, him and Wicks. But, you know, the stuff that I was reading, I think somebody sent it to me this morning from Justice Mosqueda about how Reed was used, which was very similar to some of the things that our very own, very smart Gabe Neitzel was saying during the State of the Packers about, you know, his number of snaps and how often he was used outside and all this other stuff. Look, I think Jaden Reed's a really good football player. I think they need to be smarter with how they use him. I think he is capable of being an outside receiver. I think he's very much in the same vein as Randall Cobb. And if, you know, they're not going to have Christian Watson until later in the year, which, again, Tausch seems to think before Halloween, great if that ends up being the case. The fact of the matter is that, you know, if they need him to be that number one wide receiver, is he Justin Jefferson? No, but I think he's been pretty damn productive the last 2 years, and he hasn't played an inordinate amount of snaps. He's not playing 85% of the snaps. So I'm a Jaden Reed believer, but again, I don't know, you know, I don't know how that position's going to shake out. And while I may have those guys where they are, you know, tomorrow, I can tell you I've coupled two more wide receivers together, and they'll be a 12 together. But again, who knows what this wide receiver group ultimately is going to look like, because there's going to be lots of guys vying for opportunities and a finite number of those opportunities, especially when you think about that I still think they want to run the ball a ton with Josh Jacobs, and I think they still want to have a lot of two tight end sets that they're going to run.
That's a valid point. I still think you should try and put one player per spot, but I will let it slide because that seems like a fair explanation. Hey, from one guy to another, a friend just giving you some friendly advice.
Doesn't sound too friendly.
Again, Matt trying to talk to professionals.
One thing I definitely can't do is I cannot write
Jason,
better than Jason.
We've established that Matt has no respect for people's expertise because he thinks he's a better chef than most restaurants that go out there. He thinks he can hit a ball from Devin Robinson. He thinks he can hit a ball off Miz. He thinks he can kick field goal. Like, Matt has no respect for expertise. Like, basically, Matt just thinks he can do anything.
You think you could hit a ball off the Miz?
Well, first of all,
talked him out of it.
Definitely. And I was just saying, if I stood there and all I had to do was make contact and, like, I'm bunting, and they were like, you couldn't even get the bat on it. And Gabe Neitzel talked me out of it. And honestly, I don't think I'm returning one on Devin Robinson, spike. I think I could get under it, but I don't ever think I'm getting in play. I will get hit by it.
Yeah, your goal should not to be to not die.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Or break a
don't get a black
bone
eye.
In your face, yeah.
She can break your nose. I've got a pretty hard head.
Your nose?
Yeah, not much cartilage there. I
Again, this is it. He won't even admit, like, yeah, most likely outcome is that I got ended up with a bruise and maybe a broken nose.
I'll probably have a black eye, like, if I got hit in the face,
it's
for
like,
sure.
It's like, I don't know if this is too old of a movie, because I know there's a lot of young people on the panel here, but it's almost like Meet the Parents when Stiller goes up for the spike when they're playing, like, volleyball in the pool.
Uh-huh.
That's what's going to happen to you. Like, I just don't want to. You got a beautiful face, man. This is a terrible idea.
He's blushing.
I don't know about beautiful, but
he does
thank
not
you, Jason.
Need, Jason, we've established he does not need his ego stroke.
Please do not.
Now he's going to think he could be an Instagram model.
Sounds like he does. Sounds like he does need it, because otherwise he's just seeking out attention by making erroneous, ridiculous claims.
Well, the thing is that it's his anniversary. He's making dinner at home because he believes that no other place in the Madison area can make a steak as good as this.
There's
guy
nothing wrong with making dinner at home for anniversary, but Matt was basically like, I can do it better than anyone else, so I'll just do it.
It was more, I am going to give two plates of food my undivided attention as opposed to a restaurant doing 150
full of professionals
plates.
Who are
doing 150 plates for randoms.
Who have done that
randoms.
For 20 years.
I'm doing it for the love of my life.
So, like, I told him, like, I was like, you know that chefs go out to other restaurants to eat because they want to experience different types of food and see what they like and don't like.
Yeah.
But like, Matt's like, eh.
I like experiences, too. But
do you have a Packers question? Because I have one, so.
No, you fire away.
All right,
you
so we're tight on time
question.
Here. Jason.
Good, because I was going to hang up soon.
And this is not my Bear fandom, because I still think the Bears are the worst team in the North. They have to, until they prove otherwise. But like, when I look at the other teams, I feel like the Packers are closer to being in third place or fighting with the Bears for third place than they are with the Detroit Lions for first place, or even Minnesota for second place. Just based off of, and I know there's question marks with every team, but the Packers, yes, they had their draft picks, but they didn't do a lot. Like, even their free agents, like, you added replacement level players, like, nobody's
except for Banks.
No, that's not that he's expensive, but nobody's.
No, he's accomplished very little, right? I mean,
yes.
And again, that's what Goody's approach is, right? He wants guys that have not hit it yet and are going to hit it once they become Packers. Like, let's be honest, Za'Darius Smith had like an 8-sack season as a backup in Baltimore. Then he had 25.5 sacks over the next 2 years. His first years in Green Bay, like, he was a great signing.
Yep.
And then when the money ran out, he became a malingerer. But the fact of the matter is maybe Banks has Pro Bowl ability, and he's going to show that in this offense. But to your point, no, they didn't do anything exciting or sexy other than drafting Matthew Golden in the first round, which is something that obviously that hadn't happened in 23 years. I would just say this. I think there are question marks with all four of these NFC North teams. With the Lions, is Dan Campbell going to be exposed like Nick Sirianni was for a year by not having two head coach candidate capable coordinators propping him up? Maybe not. Maybe the next two guys will be good enough and his continued kneecap biting shtick will be successful and they're going to win the division again. That's the question in my mind with the Lions. The question with the Vikings is J.J. McCarthy, as a first-year starter, after doing next to nothing last season, because remember, he was on IR, so you're not allowed to practice when you're on IR.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't actually take reps. Is he going to be stepping in, and is KOC going to be as good with him as he was with Sam Darnold? Because he made Sam Darnold, who was a disappointing number 3 overall pick, into a really, really good quarterback last season, except for when the chips were on the table at the end of the year. The Packers' question is, they have literally a dozen or more guys, plus the coach and the GM, facing pivotal seasons where we know they're all varying degrees of good, but are they good enough and are they going to be great? And they need a bunch of guys that have never been consistently great to be pretty close to great for them to be as good of a team as they're capable of being. And then the Bears, is Ben Johnson going to be the miracle worker that all these other knuckleheads that have coached that franchise have not been able to be? And so all four teams, and look, I'm not willing to put any meaningful amount of my own salary on any of the four teams, because I can see all of them to varying degrees having a bunch of success. But let's add into the equation, while everybody's talking about how it's the greatest division in football, they don't get to play the AFC South this year. I mean, they're not playing the FRCC conference that, you know, DePere and Ashwaubenon are in. Like, they're playing the AFC North, and that's a hell of a lot harder.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't know if my job was to predict what the NFC North is going to look like. I'm not qualified to make that, because I think it's going to be a fascinating year.
I agree with you. I also think every team, I mean, outside of Chicago, because I don't see them getting worse from 5 wins, take 2 wins off their record from last year, just based off the schedule. So I still think it falls the same. I mean, I'm guessing Chicago 7, Green Bay and Minnesota battled out for 9, and Detroit somewhere on 11. And it could still, anyone could surprise me, but that's kind of how I have it looking. I don't think there's a Super Bowl team in the NFC North this year.
You think that Ben Johnson makes that big of a difference for the Lions to pull them out of that?
Yes.
Well, I would just say this.
And Aaron Glenn.
On the flip side of that, they've got all their studs coming back from injury, right? Like, that's the one thing about the Lions that I think we have to acknowledge, is that they were decimated. And I'll tell you this, if that happens to the Packers, they are nowhere near as deep to tread water the way the Lions managed to.
And
they'll be more like the 49ers, who finished, what, like 6-11 when they lost all their good players? So that could get ugly.
It's worth noting, you guys might not, I mean, Jason obviously knows this, but Dan Campbell's an offensive coach. I mean, he's a leader of men guy, but he's a tight ends coach. He played tight end, and it's kind of like they talk about with Vrabel. You kind of have to give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves he can't hire assistants. His first round through, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson were home runs. So maybe you just have to, I mean, it might not work out, but it'll be interesting. Jason, we took up way too much of your time. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That was Jason Wilde. Matt, before we go, tell us about what Liney's you'll be enjoying tonight.
Well, obviously, with this delicious steak dinner, you can't go wrong with Liney's Original. But the best part about Liney's is they've got a flavor for every moment. If you're out on the lake, having an anniversary dinner, or just chopping it up with friends at the bar, you can't go wrong with Liney's. The summer shandy is fantastic. The juicy peach is outrageous. The lakeside cherry is just as good as those two. They're so good. And it's a Wisconsin beer with a German-inspired brewing tradition. Go get Liney's wherever you get delicious beer. And remember, you got to be 21 years or older to enjoy.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Like, winning teams could talk trash.
Yeah, but we're
not. Giannis talks trash.
Maybe we're not good enough to be talking trash.
Or maybe it's not your personality.
It's not tight. I'm not tight.
Yeah. I'm not tight either.
I'm not tight at all. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not tight. I'm
who's
not tight.
Ben Johnson?
I'm so loose right now.
We don't know. I don't know who he is. I have no
tight.
Idea what he is.
I'm not tight.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.